This is Fresh Air. I'm Tanya Mosley. This month marks 50 years of hip-hop. To celebrate, all this week we'll be featuring interviews with some of the most influential rappers and DJs over the last 50 years. We'll start at the beginning with DJ Kool Herc, who on August 11th, 1973, DJed an end-of-summer party in his Bronx apartment's rec center. Little did he know that it was the beginning of hip-hop as we know it. Kool Herc was the first DJ to isolate and repeat the breaks, the most danceable beats in a record, to rev the party and keep the dancers going. Although Herc is often credited as the father of hip-hop, he didn't record, and for years remained relatively unknown. Grandmaster Flash took Herc's method one step further, developing mixing and scratching techniques that became part of the basics of hip-hop. We'll hear Terry's interview with him later in the show. His group, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, was the first hip-hop group inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Melly Mel was a member and rapped on The Message, which is considered one of the best rap records ever made. We'll hear from him also. But let's kick it off with DJ Kool Herc. He spoke to Terry in 2005 about the parties he threw in the Bronx back in the 70s. They started with a mix that Kool Herc would often play at parties.
Kool Herc, welcome to Fresh Air. Take us back to the beginning of hip-hop. Would you describe what you would do at parties?
Okay. The party would start out like this. I ride my bicycle, summertime, all over the Bronx, everywhere. And people, as I go along, they would ask me, hey, Herc, the last party was the bomb. It was the joint. You know, that's when the first slang thing started. It was the joint. I love it. When is the next one? Until that build up, when is the next one? That's when we give the party. And we give the party 3 weeks prior to the date. We start put our invitations about it on index card.
Tell us what it was like at the party, like how you would play records, how you would find the breaks, how you started finding the breaks.
I would, when I started playing, people didn't see me. I was in a room. I had to stick my head out and see how the party was going. Me and my friends was in the room, and we'd stick our head out and see how the party's going, or we call people names out. And I didn't have the luxury of headphones. I had to cue the record over the music, because that's the way my setup was set up. And I was, you know, the record, you could tell where the breaks are. It's a dark groove. And people used to wait sometime for those particular parts of the record to come on. And I would just play stuff, you know. And I would tell them that I have new records. I want them to check it out at the same time I'm checking it out. And if it's something I'm personally like, I would tell them, I'm feeling this one, and I hope you like the rest I play. You know, because they came to my house. I know, they're my guests.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you think that it would be great at parties to just play those breaks over and over, to make almost like a loop of those breaks instead of just playing the whole record straight
through?
Because
this is the one misconception of me. I'm a disc jockey. I'm not a DJ. I'm a disc jockey. Mm-hmm. I play the disc to make you jockey. And one night I experiment. The breaks came out of an experiment. I'm watching the people dancing. A lot of people used to wait for some particular part of the records. I'm studying the floor. I'm like a shepherd. I'm watching the flock, you know. I got to maintain this crowd going on till around 4 o'clock. So I'm very observant. So what I was noticing, people used to wait for them particular parts of the record to dance to, just to do that special little move. So I said, listen, I'm going to do a thing. I'm going to call it the merry-go-round. So I put all these breaks that I know that I have in my collection together. Some of them I have two. Most of them I only have one, so they just have to keep it going. I call it a merry-go-round. And at the time, I had a record called Apache, and it was off an album called The Incredible Bongo Rock. And that record set the tone.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Kool Herc, and he's basically considered the father of hip-hop, of
no,
DJing.
No, not basically. I am.
Okay. And
the buck stopped right here. There's nobody after George Washington. Likewise, same thing for Kool Herc.
What were the records that you thought had the best breaks when you were doing parties in the 70s?
James Brown, Give It Up, Turn It Loose. A lot of James Brown record, Get Involved, Bobby Bird record, Hot Pants, you know, and Dennis Coffey, you know, Scorpio, soundtracks from Shaft in Africa, you know, and the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still buying records to this day.
What are you buying?
Good stuff that's not played on the radio.
Would you describe one of the best parties that you can remember? From the early days of hip-hop.
I bet all of them was good. All of them, but I couldn't. I just can remember sometime I played some particular record that when we first heard a record called 7 Minutes of Funk, we heard it in a place called at Hunts Point. And Jay-Z used it. And a few other people used that same record. And that came out of my collection. And when we played that record, or what we did, Coke did it. Coke put the record on, and we all walked off the stage. And the record just came on. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And it just kept on going. And it just kept on going through changes. And everybody was like, whoa! You know, even when we play Heat Wave, the slow record, you know, everybody was shocked. Cause we played a lot of records that the radio wasn't playing. Till we found out the radio station started sending spies to the clubs to hear what we playing. That's a lot of the records now started to get played on the radio.
Back in the 70s, when you were doing parties, you'd charge for admission, right?
25 cents for fellas, for ladies, and 50 cents for fellas. After that, it was 75 for fellas, 50 cents for ladies. We was charging according to what the Juicy Fruit gum was selling for. We budgeted ourselves according to we were trying to get rich. You know, if the soda was 50 cents, we got to charge 25 cents. For ladies. I mean, the gum was 20. If the gum was a dime, a nickel, we got it to our 50, you know, like that. We wasn't trying to get rich.
So how many people would show up to the typical party?
I'll tell you one thing. We went upstairs, we poured it out on the table. We made $500 selling Franks and all that. $300 to $400 we was clocking. And it's a little recreation room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you have to pay to rent the room?
Yes, $25.
Oh, it's not bad.
No. Yeah, it was just, you know, it was fun. And at the time, people didn't want nobody in their house. Mom's still paying for the furniture. People's not going to be too careful in your house. You don't want people all up in your business. So the recreation was perfect. You couldn't tear nothing up in there. We had two bathrooms, we had a kitchen, and we had space to dance.
So a lot of the apartment buildings had recreation rooms?
Yeah, a few of them. Mm-hmm. At least the new one. We live in a new building at the time because we was burnt down. From where we lived at on the east side. And we stayed in the Grand Concourse Hotel for a minute. And my mom's held out till something came along. And it was the first building on Cedric Avenue right by the Major Deegan Highway. They say, Mrs. Campbell, we think we have something you're looking for. And sure enough, we found it, two bathrooms and enough room for all of us. It was the Brady Bunch family, three boys and three girls. And we lived on the first floor.
You moved to New York in 1967 from Jamaica at the age of 13. What was your first reaction to New York? You moved to what, to the South Bronx?
No, I moved on the West Bronx on Tremont Avenue, 178th Street, 611 East 178th Street.
Okay. So and, what was your first reaction to it, and how did it compare to the neighborhood you were used to in Jamaica?
Well, I was at the time watching TV down there, Petticoat Junction and Dennis the Menace, and I just thought all the United States was like good old Mr. Wilson, Dennis the Menace neighborhood. I was in for a rude awakening when I got in. I was living in Jamaica, originally in Jonestown, you know, Trenchtown over there on Second Street. There, Bob Marley lived on First. I live on Second Street, nearby a little school nearby. I attend a school nearby, a movie theater called the Ambassador Theater, and when I moved to Franklin Town and got more into seeing the disco develop. I didn't live in a ghetto part of Jamaica, Franklin Town, you know. It was like a little suburbia, but it was probably something about me ghetto. But when I got here, it was like, it was no different. I'm like, whoa. I'm living upstairs over other people, people living over me. I lived in a yard in Jamaica. I had a yard. I didn't live in a tenement, you know. And I see dirt. I didn't see concrete all the time, you know. And snow. I never seen snow before, you know, and it was like it was a wake-up call. It wasn't a good old Mr. Wilson neighborhood.
What surprised you most about what the styles were when you got to New York? You know, were the clothes different?
I didn't have the hip clothes. I had on the hick clothes. I had on the aviator hat that you pull over your ears and the flip-up top. I had the wide corduroy jacket on. I looked straight like a hick. And then I love cowboy boots from back in Jamaica and watching cowboy pictures. So I thought, you know, cowboy boots was the bomb. When I got in and got a pair of cowboy winter boots, this girl in high school, junior high school, teased me to death. Yeah, look at him. He got on Rhodes Killers. She had the whole hallway just tearing me up. Rhodes Killers and all that. Do you know I seen her one time years later? I said, remember me? She said, yeah. I remember you. I used to tease you about them random cowboy boots. And I said, look around the place right now. What do you see? She said, oh, my God. I said, yeah, I guess I was ahead of my time then, right? Sure, you're right. It was cowboy style was in. When Teddy Pendergrass made that record and had on the cowboy hat and all that.
So, but they called your cowboy boots Roach Killers.
Yes, that is pointy toe. They called them any pointy toe shoes like that. It was called them Roach Killers. Okay, you could get in a car and kill a roach with it.
Have you ever done a radio show?
No.
Do you think that's something you'd want to do sometime? Show. You know, like to DJ on the radio.
I would love it, but I'd have to have free reign to play what I'll play.
Uh huh.
And you don't get that at radio stations, so I don't really bother with it.
Right.
You can't tell me what to play in New York City when this culture was born here.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
DJ Kool Herc, the first hip-hop DJ, spoke to Terry in 2005. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this past May. Let's listen to a record that Herc would play a lot when he DJed with singer Jill Scott.
You wanna tear it down, but you can't touch me. We ain't invincible, but Lord knows we are beautiful and blessed.